Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Joining us today is Leslie Appleton-Young. She's the Vice President and Chief Economist for the California Association of Realtors. Leslie oversees the analysis of the housing market and broker industry trends, and then she communicates that to the members. Leslie, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much, Bruce.
How many members currently does CAR have?
You know, I think we're going to come in for 2009 at around 160,000.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, the peak was in 2007. We had 211,000.
Actually, that's a lot better than I would have thought.
Well, it's a lot better than we would have thought, too, but there seems to be some staying power. It may be partly because there's a wind farms is included in the dues that happened about 5 or 6 years ago. And I think you also have the component of the rest of the economy shedding jobs at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in real estate, there's always a chance. You know, there's always an opportunity. And there are actually people still coming into the business that are doing quite well. So it's just one of those things.
Well, I think that's one of the important functions that you serve, too, is you're trying to tell the membership the business is shifting. So the people that are probably on the top 10 chart are doing something very different than they were 3 years ago.
Absolutely. You know, and it's, I guess it used to be 80-20 and now it's 90-10 or even smaller, you know, with 10% of the people doing 90% of the business. And I'm sure that hasn't changed too much. There are realtors today that are having the best years they've ever had, but, you know, they tend to be the people that are getting a lot of the bulk, you know, REO business.
Sure.
And or, you know, work really well with investors like yourself. And obviously, first-time buyers are in an unbelievable position in a market like this to buy homes.
Leslie, it's part of your job to forecast in advance what the real estate market will be like. What was the membership encouraged by what you were able to say for 2009?
You know, I think yes and no. Clearly, the market in terms of transactions, we've seen the worst. You know, the market bottomed in terms of sales in the fall of 2007. And we actually had, you know, over a 25% increase in sales in 2008. So the problem is there's just so much uncertainty right now about everything, but particularly about the economy. You know, and that's what is hard to gauge right now. You've had a lot of initiatives coming out of Washington that haven't had a chance yet to really, you know, have an impact on the street. We're still seeing, as you know, we've seen from, you know, GM and Ford, and, you know, there's still a lot of job shedding going on, and it's certainly easy for an economist to say, well, jobs are a lagging indicator, which they are, but this may, you know, this restructuring could go on for a while, and it could get a lot worse. I mean, people, it's just hard to tell. It definitely is uncharted territory. So, you know, I'm able to carry a message that the, you know, distressed REO short sale component of the market is in bottoming and slightly improving situation with respect to prices, and that sales are up very, very sharply in the regions of the state, like the Inland Empire, where you have a significant amount of the listing inventory falling into the distressed category, so the housing is extremely affordable. There are parts of the state where homes are selling below replacement cost. So that's, I think, very encouraging, but there is a cloud over, you know, the country and the world with respect to just how long and how deep this recession is going to be, and that will have an impact, and I don't think anybody knows.
You know, that's the hardest part about this real estate downturn is you have to consider so many factors that you've never, at least I think you have to consider so many factors that you've never thought you had to contemplate before. It's not just let's take a look inside of California real estate. Oh, let's take a look at the national economy. Oh, let's take a look at the world. economy and the stability of everything. And it's not an easy chore to say what's next at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've got, you know, obviously political issues. We've got environmental issues. We have this swine flu outbreak. And then we just have kind of the ho-hum, and I'm being sarcastic, you know, economic issues that are really, really difficult. And housing is just, you know, one part of it. And clearly, you know, subprime started the ball rolling about 3 years ago. But there's no doubt that this was a, you know, a systemic issue related to, you know, risk-taking, transparency, fee-driven events with no accountability, and so on and so forth. And I think that, you know, in order to rebuild confidence, there needs to be some major changes in how these industries are regulated. And that's happening. I mean, that's just, you know, not me. I mean, that's,
sure,
you know, that's happening in Washington now.
And usually when you start down that path, you also tend to over-regulate. So we'll go from a place where there was virtually none to where there may be too many.
You know, and that's certainly true. I mean, I think the pendulum swings. But here you have, you know, our banking system nationalized to a certain degree under a Republican administration. So from my perspective, it's time to throw the generalities out. You know, there needs to be more regulation to the extent that people know what they're getting when they make an investment.
Sure.
And that's what's really crippling the lending, you know, market with respect to housing right now, is that people, you know, investors don't want to have anything to do with mortgage-backed securities because they don't trust the paper.
That's right.
You know, with mortgage fraud. So
yeah.
I don't disagree with you, but I don't think there's any way around it, because you need, you know, this intangible item called confidence and trust is not going to come back on its own.
We interviewed, I'll give you an example of maybe going too far, because I agree there has to be rules that everyone gets confidence back. We interviewed somebody that was in Washington, D.C., and his feeling was that when lenders foreclose, there should be a rule that they have to rent to the former owner for 20 years. And I said, well, that'll make available financing a little tough going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. That seems very strange.
It was. Fortunately, he wasn't in the real estate business, but it is this sentiment, maybe, and that's what's scary. In regards to this real estate downturn that we're experiencing, how would you answer this question?
I thought I would never see the statewide median home price drop 38% in 1 year.
I agree. That's astonishing.
Ever.
That is the most astonishing thing. And we are, as investors, buying properties right now at prices we really haven't seen since probably 87, because the REOs are really taking the brunt of the price hit. And, you know, discussing the median price, it's a number that probably isn't as accurate as other, let's say, because is there a mix change in the inventory that makes that look?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And I've debated average versus median with people for years. So all I can say is, for all of you that don't like the median, the average looks worse. And the issue is really the fact that it's the moderate and low end of the market that disappeared in, you know, 06 and 07. And the high end was maintaining its own until September of 2007, when you couldn't get a jumbo loan. And so you had, you know, 2006 and 2007, the market contracted in terms of transactions by more than 20% in each of those 2 years, and yet the median home price was at this very high plateau.
That's right.
Because the high end was still, you know, going strong.
Mm-hmm.
But that all changed in September of 2007. So one of the kind of themes of my remarks to California realtors is, you know, leverage your local market knowledge, because a national statistic, a statewide statistic, a regional statistic, a county statistic is not going to be enough. It's not going to be accurate for the decisions that your clients are making with respect to a particular neighborhood.
That's right. In a recent survey, your customer was asked, what will the direction of prices be in 1, 3, 5, or 10 years? Mm-hmm. And the dominant answer was, I don't know. And yet they still bought. I was kind of surprised at that.
Well, you know, you've got a lot of things going for the market right now. You have the federal government, Federal Reserve, essentially buying rates down to 4.5%.
Mm-hmm.
You have an $8,000 first-time homebuyer tax credit coming from the federal government. You have a $10,000 state income tax credit for new construction. And you have FHA financing. You have conforming loan financing that's fairly readily available. And you're looking at prices that are half what they were 3 years ago.
And interest rates probably two-thirds.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm a little ahead of myself, but that makes the affordability number astonishing. I mean, it's way high.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So in essence, the monthly payment for California real estate is completely on sale.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look at PITI in the last 2 years, it's cut in half. And it was interesting last weekend, the California Association of Realtors partnered with the Los Angeles Times for a homebuyer fair.
Mm-hmm.
It was down at the LA Convention Center, and I had the opportunity to speak and give a kind of market update really targeted towards first-time buyers. And it was really, what's the word, you know, just almost inspiring, you know, to see these, you know, 20 people, couples, singles in their 20s and 30s who just wanted to find out everything they could because they knew this was their opportunity.
Yeah.
And they'd read a lot and they really wanted to get educated. And I was just very honored to be there.
It's a big thing when you have a first chance to own a home. And it really is. My daughter is 24. She's getting married shortly. And I just told her, I said, you know, you have a really unique opportunity. I had her ask her new husband to be, if he would live in the house that she could buy, and there she's in escrow. So an FHA purchase, she has about $4,000 or $5,000 down, will receive an $8,000 check back from the federal government.
Right.
She used to rent a room in another place when she was going, since she was out of the area, for $700, and her PITI payment on a perfectly fixed house is $804.
Wow.
So
there you go. That's a perfect example.
Exactly. And, you know, she works part-time as a massage therapist. And so you realize, okay, most family units have two incomes.
Right.
And so I don't think there's ever been a time where California real estate's been this affordable. But yet when people buy and they think, I don't know if the price is going up, to me that's almost a more healthy reason that they want to own it.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I certainly challenged the audiences last week to really examine what their assumptions are about price appreciation over, you know, 3, 5, 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and to make sure that wasn't driving their decision, you know, if optimistic, because it was so important for them to understand that housing prices come down.
Well, you know, that's part of this issue, is that hadn't happened since 97, let's say, there was a lot of realtors, a lot of investors, a lot of homeowners that were very accustomed to that producing almost income for, you know, just owning a house created another $50,000 or $100,000 whenever they wanted it.
Right.
And that's certainly changed. And it's probably a lot healthier because we'll get a lot more new people that'll get their first chance at owning a home.
Well, and I think the issue is just housing is not going to be the piggy bank anymore. And, you know, I've just challenged everybody to look back at the last 3 or 4 years and really study it and input and be engaged in the public policy debate and decisions that are going on in Washington this year and next year. Because, you know, we in the housing industry, if you look at, you know, the post-World War II period up until about 2002, you know, housing debt was different, you know, and people treated, you know, the home ownership process very differently. It was hard to get a mortgage. There were a lot of being foreclosed upon and, you know, getting into trouble was not viewed as an option. You know, it didn't happen unless, you know, there were really extraordinary circumstances. And the fact of the matter is there were a significant number of people that refied out of decent, reasonable loans into risky loans. And by far the bulk of the refinances that went on during the boom were cash out.
Yes.
And so people were put in harm's way. And I don't know if they were thinking, wow, I'm going to take this vacation, fix my kitchen, and then I'm going to sell. And whatever they were thinking in most cases involved a continuation of price appreciation. And quite honestly, I look at our median home price data in the 90s. In six of those 10 years, the statewide median went down.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest single annual drop was less than 5%.
You know, that's the, you've pointed out something that's so different in this downturn, is the last downturn was very gradual, and you always had an exit that you could take that would only cost you 5%.
Right.
And this time it fell off the cliff.
Well, you know, I have a slide that I use that goes back to the late 70s, and it essentially took 5 years for the market to shrink about 60%. And in the late 80s, early 90s, it took 5 years for the market to shrink, transaction-wise, about 25%.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, it's taken 3 years for the market to drop 44%. So the speed of the transactional decline, and then to your point, the behavior of prices has just been, again, I used to always say, you know, prices are sticky on the way down because if the market isn't good, why would a discretionary seller decide to sell?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what happened in the last couple of years is that you had a lot of non-discretionary sellers.
Well, and you know what's interesting is that usually if we have the non-discretionary seller, it's due to a job loss. And this time it didn't start that way, but now we have that as an added problem that's probably not going to get better right away.
Well, exactly. And that's why, you know, when as we were talking in the beginning of the segment, the you know, the big question mark for me with respect to the housing market is the economy. It's job losses, it's confidence. It's not that people can't get financing, particularly, you know, conforming financing and FHA. It's, are people going to have jobs?
Well, you know, as far as the pie of buyers in Riverside, let's say, there's about 45% of owners that are underwater already. So they're sort of stuck. And then you have another piece of the pie that are out of work or underemployed. You know, you start adding up some of these pieces, and you really need the new buyer to emerge, or you need to attract migration to California, and that's usually, I'm sure, jobs are part of that.
Absolutely.
So we have a little bit of a challenge in the next 18 months finding who's going to buy all this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I must say I have been absolutely floored at the first-time buyer response, and clearly the affordability is the trigger, but there were a significant number of people that were on the sidelines waiting for this to happen, is my impression, and they timed it right.
I think, too, you know, that's the thing that's nice about looking at your research, because I look at that, and that's not something I would even be able to figure out, but there is definitely a shift to who is buying the property, so you really are geared toward a first-time buyer. So all the goodies that they're giving, the $8,000, is really a healthy inducement at the right time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's all moving in that direction.
Most of the borrowers getting fixed rate loans at this point?
Yes. I mean, I think so.
I would hope so.
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, I have heard a few comments about people going through loan modification and getting put into 2 to 3 year arms. And I haven't been able to substantiate that. I do not know why anyone would not get a fixed rate instrument at these rates.
I think on a loan modification, that's part of the deal.
Yeah.
Typically that's part of the arrangement the lender is doing. If they're going to not get all of their even principal, they are going to at least
do that. Okay. So that explains that. So there certainly are some new new arms out there. But yeah, for first time buyers getting their first loan, how could you not take advantage of this?
One of the things that you also said, or I read in one of the surveys, was that the comments from the people qualifying, that 56% of them said that on a scale of 10 in difficulty of getting through the financing, they had a scale of 9 or 10. So over half of the people found it pretty tough to get that loan closed.
Yeah, now that was a survey that was done in the middle of last year. So it will be interesting to see when we do it again this year, what they say. My hope would be that the Obama initiatives would have helped that. And I'll tell you this, I think it's another issue with difficulty is not that the funds aren't available.
Absolutely. It's
you have got to document everything. You have got to have a very strong FICO score. You have got to have your W-2s. And so I think that kind of adds to the difficulty. It's just the paperwork. I mean, I have friends that have been involved in who are, you know, very strong bottom line people financially doing a refinance, and the paperwork is just, you know, again, we've talked about the pendulum swinging from one extreme to the other. So I think that does add to the difficulty, but not, you know, it's the process is difficult. It's not that the money's not there. It's just they really want to make sure that they're going to get their money back, and who can blame them?
No, you can't blame them, and you really have to set up the next set of loans to be safe. So if there is, when there is, and I'm sure there will be another mortgage-backed security in our future,
right,
that it is actually as advertised, if it is AAA.
right, absolutely. Yeah, I think this whole issue of transparency is absolutely critical for us to get a market back.
Sure. We can't have that be a lie.
No.
Where people who risk their entire life savings in other countries who just carte blanche trusted our rating system get defrauded. No, that absolutely can't be allowed to happen again.
No. And I've said on many, many occasions that, you know, rapid price appreciation trumps solid underwriting, and that's what happened. And there's just a tendency to fall into that, because even if the borrower gets into trouble, everybody's still better off. Mm. Well, I don't think we can count on that anymore, and it really got, it was an incredible risk to take with the financial system.
Yeah, I'm sure they didn't play that one out. Just because they had a mathematical formula that appeared to work, when they didn't put in the equation that, oh, we can't possibly keep up this price projection, that was a part of the equation they should have put in there.
Absolutely.
We only have about a minute left in this segment. The projected median price for 2009 was something around 250.
Right.
And we're about there. Now, do you feel that that's going to be approximately where we end up, or is it probably going to be less than that?
You know, I'm feeling that 250 is a reasonable number at this point. When we calculate a statewide median for the entire year, it's recalculated from scratch. So it's not the average of monthly medians. We throw everything that sold during 2009 into the bucket and then get the median. What I am seeing in the market today is that the price softness is really at the high end. And it's not a huge factor in the market right now, because that's such a small part of the total overall sales.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was very interesting in our March data, and obviously 1 month does not a trend make, but we did see for the very first time since August of 2007 an increase in the median home price from 1 month to the next. And the anecdotal stories I hear about multiple offers,
mm-hmm,
and properties again in the de-stressed part of the market going above list, and maybe the list was low to get multiple offers. I mean, there's obviously a strategy to all this. Lead me to believe that it's likely that we are bouncing around the bottom in terms of prices at the low end.
Okay. Well, we have to end for now. Leslie, thank you for joining us, and we will pick this up on our next segment.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.